KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's partly to mostly cloudy, a little bit of sunshine picking off of the east of us on the KJAN studios here in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy to cloudy today with scattered showers this morning. More numerous showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, a high around 59. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. Members of the Griswold School District's Board of Education will hold a special meeting Thursday evening, April 7th, beginning at 5 p.m. And during that session, the board will receive information pertaining to the superintendent vacancy, and they'll act on guidance for budget cuts. The meeting takes place in the central office boardroom of the Griswold Middle School High School building. The Madison County Sheriff's Office is investigating a fatal motorcycle accident. On Sunday at around 8 p.m., the Madison County Sheriff's Office received a report of a motorcycle accident in the 1500 block of U.S. Highway 169, about 5 miles north of Winterset. Responding deputies discovered an adult male, later identified as 58-year-old Brian McKeon of Waukee, dead at the scene. A preliminary investigation shows that McKeon was northbound on U.S. Highway 169 when he missed a curve and entered the east side ditch. A passenger in a vehicle that crashed into a tree Sunday morning in Emerson was transported to the hospital for treatment of undisclosed injuries. The Mills County Sheriff's Office said Levi Allen of Red Oak was riding in a 2016 Chevy driven by Adam Lundgren of Essex when the accident happened around 6 a.m. Sunday. Authorities say the vehicle was northbound on Highway 59 approaching Crawford Street in Emerson when Lundgren fell asleep at the wheel. When the vehicle went off the right side of the road, Lundgren overcorrected, causing the vehicle to cross the center line into the southbound lane of Highway 59. The vehicle then went off onto the left side of the road, and Lundgren panic braked before the vehicle struck a tree. Levi Allen was transported by Red Oak EMS to the Red Oak Hospital. Lundgren was cited for failure to maintain control. In other business, the Mills County Sheriff's Office reports 39-year-old Joseph Lee Hasty of Glenwood was arrested Sunday night for driving under suspension. Bond was set at $300. A woman from Guthrie County was arrested last Thursday after hiding in her oven. The Guthrie County Sheriff's Office says a search warrant was executed at a residence in the 800 block of Ashton Avenue in Guthrie Center. As a result, 25-year-old Gabrielle Looper was taken into custody on a warrant for probation violation. Deputy Kent Grease with the Guthrie County Sheriff's Office told KJAN News the woman was taken into custody without incident, but not before authorities encountered some obstacles.
Well, first we had to force entry into the house. They weren't forthright in allowing us to come in, so we actually had to force entry with a pry bar into the residence. When we got into the residence, we were greeted by a couple of vicious dogs. One of our officers was actually attacked by one of their canines. We were able to utilize a fire extinguisher, a less lethal means of subduing the canine without having to use lethal force.
Once inside, deputies conducted a slow, methodical search of the mobile home. Grease said they knew Looper was in the home based on her medical history.
We knew she was in there. She'd just given birth 3 weeks ago to a baby. So our first priority was finding the baby and securing the baby, which we did. And then the deputies spread out throughout the trailer house, and we located her very strangely in the oven.
The door to the oven was closed. Grease said authorities had received intelligence beforehand indicating they were likely to find her there.
Yeah, they had actually specially modified. They had two ovens. The first giveaway should have been that they had two ovens as stoves in a trailer house kitchen, which is obviously very small. One was a working unit, and the other one was not a working unit. It had no power gas lined up to it. The bottom of it was actually specifically removed for the purposes of hiding in the oven.
32-year-old Joseph Crawford was also arrested at the scene for interference with official acts. Both Looper and Crawford were transported to the Guthrie County Jail. The Iowa State Patrol and Panora Police assisted in executing the search warrant and conducting the arrests. The child was voluntarily turned over by Looper to her grandmother. Grease said they took a picture of the unusual oven because it serves as a reminder that people will go to extreme lengths to hide themselves from authorities in order to avoid prosecution. The Shelby County Emergency Management Agency said yesterday the fire danger rating in the county will remain moderate through this week. But Operations Officer Jason Wickheiser said you should keep in mind this time of year, we can go from moderate to extreme in less than 24 hours. Sunday was an excellent example, he says, of where we had moderate conditions that due to wind, temperature, and humidity changed rapidly to a red flag or extreme fire danger condition. You should continue to notify the Shelby County EMA if you planned outdoor burns, and conduct those burns in the early evening or late evening hours when possible. A candidate for Congress will hold events in Cass County this weekend. Desmond Adams of Clive, a candidate for Iowa's 3rd Congressional District seat, will meet with the public from noon until 1 p.m. at Weitzel's Restaurant on East 7th Street in Atlantic. Later in the day, he'll hold a listening post at the Redwood Steakhouse in Anita from 4 until 5:30 p.m. on Saturday. In a press release, Adams says, "I'm excited to return to Cass County. During several trips since last summer, I've toured a number of businesses and farms and attended local meetings." He says, "I'm coming out again to share my vision for how I'd like to serve the 16 counties of the 3rd District in Congress and hear ideas and issues from citizens." The City Council in Atlantic will meet Wednesday evening and act on an agreement with UMB Bank for the purchase of general obligation, corporate purpose, and refunding bonds not to exceed $5 million. The meeting at City Hall begins at 5:30 p.m. tomorrow. City Administrator John Lund says UMB has offered to significantly reduce the underwriter's fees and offer a ceiling on the true interest rate for the bond issuance. Lund says the agreement, if approved by the council, would result in a savings of more than $142,778 in interest costs between fiscal years 2018 and 2026, and it would free up $790,000 in critical debt levy resources that can be made available for other projects. On the other hand, the city would accrue $75,980 in new interest due to the extended maturity date of the bonds, plus $22,604 in issuance costs and nearly $10,870 in underwriter's fees. All in all, he says, more than $33,200 in taxpayer dollars would be saved by the change if approved. In other business, the Atlantic City Council will receive a presentation with regard to the Bull Creek stormwater improvement projects and a presentation from hospital, chamber, and Cass County Foundation officials with regard to a strategic community plan. They'll also act Wednesday on appointing Christina Bateman to the Planning and Zoning Commission in an order closing specified streets August 7th for a church block party and August 13th for Atlantic Fest. The council is also expected to set April 20th as the date for a public hearing on a proposed ordinance for vacating an alley in Block 73 of the City of Atlantic. The so-called Phantom Alley is not maintained by the city and does not connect any streets. An offer has been made to purchase the land for $500. The Planning and Zoning Commission has previously voted to vacate the property. And as the spring thaw arrives and rivers start to rise, a free online tool is available for some 20 Iowa communities that shows river levels in flooded areas, street to street, all in real time. The tool is called the Iowa Flood Information Service, or IFIS. Nate Young, the associate director of the Iowa Flood Center, says IFIS pulls data from several state and federal resources.
It includes information from the National Weather Service, the USGS, Army Corps of Engineers, as well as data that we create. It's all in one location and publicly available in a Google Maps interface, so it's relatively easy to use and frames the information in a way that makes it relevant to each individual community in the state.
In addition to the real-time views, there are more than 1,000 waterways in communities all across Iowa, hyperlinked on the website. The tool is designed to help emergency managers know where to deploy resources like sandbags, and it can help Iowa homeowners know if their house may soon be in jeopardy.
It's intended for community leaders as well as individuals. So even individuals who need to be better informed about how their personal property might be impacted by a flood, either during an event or long-term, what their long-term flood risk is, they can use this as a resource.
The map allows city planners and residents to see various flood scenarios to help prepare for flood emergencies and make informed decisions. Among the communities included in the data is Red Oak. The Iowa Flood Center is based at the University of Iowa. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.